Pastor, for the opportunity, the invitation to be here. We just enjoyed our time. And thank you for the singing and the fellowship and the ministry thus far. It's been a blessing to us, and certainly the opportunity we had yesterday to be with you folks as well, and today as well. Good to see so many folks in here. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's just been a blessing, okay? It's just been a blessing. So thank you. You pray for us, the ministry of Camp Kobiak. We're going to have a quiz right now. Kobiak stands for three words. What are they? Come, believe, accept. The heartbeat of the camp has always been the gospel, to come, to believe the gospel, accept God's gift of eternal life. So you pray for us for a fruitful ministry and a fruitful summer as we impact the next generation. They're facing some crazy things. Come on now. They're facing some crazy things, this next generation coming up. And we need to make sure that we make an impact on the next generation. So once again, thank you, Pastor, Mrs. Love, for your kindness, generosity, your example. And we still like you better, Mrs. Love. We still like you better. Now, we like your husband, but we just like you better, okay? And so we appreciate your friendship. And good to have Jimmy and Johanna Bonner. They're friends back in the day. I don't even want to start talking about, yeah, in my mind, I think it was like 10 years ago, but it was not 10 years ago, okay? And so Jimmy and Johanna, they're Connecticut peeps out here. Of course, Jimmy grew up in Michigan. And we went to school together at Maranatha Baptist Bible College back in the days. And I love Jimmy. I appreciate his friendship. Johanna, they've been special friends. And, of course, what I really like about Jimmy is the fact that he set my wife and I up 18, 19 years ago. And so as I shared in Sunday school, all I had to do is fool her for a little bit. And she was stuck because she's such a godly lady. She's just stuck with me forever. So she may regret it. I don't. But thank you, Jimmy, for setting us up. And we're celebrating 18 years of marriage here today. Appreciate you and your family. And Jimmy and I played ball. And I used to start on the Maranatha Baptist Bible College team till Jimmy Bonner joined the team. And I remember my dad came up and watched one of the games. I ever tell you this? My dad's a basketball guy. He came up and watched one of our games at Maranatha. And I started the first couple years and with Clayton, Eddie, and Dan, Jake, those guys, okay. And all of a sudden, my dad comes up and watches Jimmy Bonner play, comes off the bench. And my dad came to me after the game. He said, "Aaron, you're not starting again." I said, "Why not?" I said, "Why not?" He goes, "I'll tell you why. Because Jimmy's taller, he shoots better, he's quicker, he's faster, and he's better looking. All those things just to play." So I guess he took my spot, but I got Christine out of the deal, so it was okay. All right, so good to see you guys here today. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's begin reading here today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this second epistle, of course, this is 2 Peter. Yeah, everybody with me so far? I'm not that deep, guys. You guys stay with me. He says the second epistle, which means he wrote one. This is number two. Okay, here we go. The second epistle, beloved, he loved the people he was writing to. The scripture is so powerful. We just let the word of God be the word of God, because he's about ready to get going a little bit on some heavy truth, but always is from a position of love. And he loved these people. So he's writing his second epistle to the people he loved. He says, "I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Well, there's the sermon. Some of you are like, "Pastor Love, you need to have this Wilson guy in again, because he was the shortest preacher in the history of the world." Oh, I'm not done. I'm just saying that's the message today. I've found out in preaching and teaching and studying the Bible that there's a lot of good messages already in the Bible. It's our job just to figure out what they are and tell you what they says, okay? So we don't have to come up with our own stuff. And so if you hear a preacher say something like, "I got something new," you should be a little nervous. New outline, new illustration, okay. But all we're doing is really trying to preach the messages that are already in here. And here's what Peter's message for his readers, and I think it's a good message for us today. He says this, "I write unto you to stir you up." That's it. He wants to stir us up today. My wife has a honey-do list. Every once in a while, it gets pretty long. Husbands, worst thing ever invented was this thing called Pinterest. Can I get an amen out there? Somebody help me out here. Because Pinterest means ideas. And ideas means work and money, and it's usually not hers. It's your work and your money. Okay, so my wife has a honey-do list, and so one of the honey-do lists was like this painting, because everybody has to repaint some stuff. And I remember pulling out this paint can, okay, and the paint can had been sitting for a while. Can anybody out there paint, painters? Anybody out there? Who hires out painting? Because you just don't want to paint. Anybody drywall finish out there? Yeah, you definitely hire that out. Okay, so what if you're a painter out there, you understand sometimes you grab a paint can that's been sitting and you open it up, you look inside and you're like, ugh, you know, a lot of the oil and stuff has been separating. It just don't look very good. But we had this, like, you know, just a few touch-ups, and I don't want to go spend money on another gallon. And so I'm taking this little paint can that just needed a little something-something, and I get the paint stirrer out, and I just begin to do one of these. Mm-hmm. Well, after, like, you know, 24 hours of doing that, now that all of a sudden, it began to look okay. So I, in my wisdom, decided to go find a small patch of paint where no one could see behind something, just to put a little paint on the walls just to see if it was going to work. And sure enough, it blended right in. I said, here we go. I learned a very important truth that day that I want to share with you. Sometimes you don't need any new stuff. You just need to stir up what you already got. Okay. Well, you know what? That's what Peter's saying. He wants to stir up your pure minds by way of what? Remembrance. I'm not going to tell you anything new today that you probably didn't know. Okay. But I do want to stir you up. Because I think Peter wanted to stir us up. He wanted to stir us up. And this stirring up isn't just some kind of like emotional, you know, temporal, not lasting very long emotional appeal here. This is some stuff that's going to get you through life. And as the people of God, we gather together on Sundays, Sunday nights, Wednesdays, multiple times a week. You know, there's just times that we just need to get together to stir each other up. And we don't need anything new. We just need to start stirring again. Okay. What Peter's going to do for us is lay out some Bible truth to stir us up. I think Peter's got a wonderful outline for us. Number one, he's going to remind us about God's timetable. Did you know God has a timetable? I mean, did you really know that? He's got a timetable. Did you know that, like, everything is, like, okay? Okay. God is still on the throne, still working. Peter's going to remind us about that. Number two, God's going to remind us, or Peter's going to remind us about God's heartbeat. Not only God's timetable, but God has a heartbeat. God has a passion. God has an agenda. God has a priority. Okay. And he wants to stir us up by that. And number three, to remind us what God's expectation is for his people. Number one, God's timetable. Look in the scripture. We're going to work our way down here. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Everybody good? If I don't get a lot of interaction, I'm going to repeat that whole introduction over again. We're going to get over from the beginning. Brady, we ain't getting out of here, bro. So you got to stay with me, all right? Good to see you, Brady. Glad you're in church, man. Man, they made us like those late. They made us clean up out there all those ladies yesterday. Yeah, but we got to eat some of the food when people weren't looking, so that was fine. Okay. And so, Brady, you're here. All we're going to do today is look at this outline, what Peter says in his word to stir us up. Because sometimes we just need to be stirred up. Did you have a rough week this week? Maybe some of you did. Maybe you got a little distracted. You know, life kind of happens, doesn't it? Okay, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, like life just kind of happens a little bit. And so we gather together, not because we're perfect, because we need this. And we need to get reminded about the Word of God, right? So let's focus our attention. Here we go, verse 2. The Bible says this, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostle of the Lord and Savior. This is wonderful stuff. Peter says, I'm stirring you up. And here's what he says. I'm going to stir you up by pointing you back to something. He says two things. First of all, he says this, the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. What's that? It's like the Old Testament, isn't it? God spoke already in men, Moses, Elijah, Daniel, all these men in the Old Testament, all the prophets. And so what Peter says, he says, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance back to the Word of God, the Old Testament. And then he says this, also the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Or in other words, that's the what? The New Testament, okay? So what Peter does is he elevates the Old Testament and then elevates the New Testament, and now we have this completed canon, the Bible, understanding that there is a God who hath given to us his word. Now, don't miss the simplicity of this, but the power of this. The people of God today need to hear this. Listen, if Peter is going to stir us up, it's not lights on the stage that we need. Come on now. Preacher, you get that. There's a lot of things we can get stirred up by in Christianity. But here's what Peter says. And I think it's just something we should pay attention to. If Peter really wants to stir us up, and if we really want to get stirred up, he points us back to the Word of God. Now, I know that's not flashy preaching today, but that's preaching. Because it's what God says in his Word that has moved us and will keep us rock solid and firm until the end. That's what he says. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Okay, so we need to be stirred up. Why do we need to be stirred up? We need to be stirred up back to the Word of God because they're scoffers. There's people who make light, flippant, and arrogant, make fun of God and His Word back then. Okay, these scoffers, they're defined a couple ways. They walk after their own lusts, their own desires. They're doing their own thing. I'm 41 years old. Good night, that sounds like it's old. Is that old? Some of you, how many of you think I'm young? Come see me after the service, because I really feel like I'm old. Like, my back, my knee, this, good night. My kid's driving. I'm old. John, I'm old. I feel like I'm really old, okay? So, I feel like I'm getting older, okay? But here's the deal. As Peter begins to stir us up, and these scoffers walking after their own desires, okay? These scoffers are just deciding that they're going to follow their own ways. Nothing's changed. That's my point. Nothing's changed. Look in the text of Scripture, if you would, please. And here's what they say in verse 4. Not only are they walking, but they're saying, where is the promise of his what? Yeah, we're going to hone in on that a little bit as we get stirred up today, as Peter points us to the Word of God. But you know what? Some things never change. Back in Peter's day, there were scoffers. Here's what they did. They walked after their own desires, okay, and they questioned the Word of God. Think about that, okay? What is going on today? People doing their own thing, and questioning the inerrancy of a God who has spoken. Where is the promise of his coming? Peter is writing, of course, around 60 or so A.D., which is approximately 30 years after he saw Jesus ascend into heaven. So it's like 3 decades have gone by, okay? 3 decades have gone by, and it seems like life kind of got back to normal, okay? Well, folks, that's no different than what you and I face today. We know what we have is real. We know the Word of God is true. Yet this world just keeps on going by, making fun of us, doing their own thing. Am I right? And yet the people of God gathered together in front of the Word of God because we want to be stirred up towards God's timetable. And I want you to notice what Peter does as far as God's timetable. I want you to notice some of the events that he mentions in this passage of Scripture to remind us about a God who's in charge. They were questioning the very return of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what they say? Or in other words, Jesus said, I'm coming again. If I go, I'm coming again. And they began to question the very Word of God. And all of a sudden, life began to just go back to normal. People get married. There's funerals. People go to work. People pay bills. Kings come, kings go, and life goes on. And they begin to question the very purposes of Almighty God and what he's doing. And the people of God need to be reminded that there is an almighty, transcendent, powerful God who from the moment he spoke this world into existence to the moment he sends Jesus Christ back to this earth, he is still in charge. Look at the text, if you would, please. Verse 4, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the... You did not come from Big Bangs, amoebas, and monkeys. Did you know that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You wonder why our world's so a mess today? For 60 years, they've been pumping to our kids that they ain't nothing but an animal. And it came from nothing. And you wonder why this world is crazy today, all this identity stuff? Well, you tell people they're animals, that there's no God in a very unpurposed, no chaos, random life. That's what you're going to have. Peter reminds us about the God who created this world. Continue on the text of Scripture. We don't have time to develop all these, but I want you to see it in the Scripture. For verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and of the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water, what? Okay, so we have a reference to creation. And now we have a reference to what? To a flood. From creation to the flood, approximately 1,700 years. That's a long time. Okay. As the world grew and God brought judgment to this world. How many have ever been to the Ark? The old Ken Ham built an Ark. Did anybody give any money towards that? I was sharing this with your pastor. Did anybody give any money to that? I did.
I usually don't give the money and things like that. They sent me a flyer, old Ken Ham. I said, I'm going to send him $100. They sent me a nail or something like that. I think I lost it, but whatever. Okay, I got a nail. You say, Mr. Wilson, why did you send Ken Ham $100? I'll tell you why. So now I can tell everybody, and you can't, that I helped build the ark. Hey, do you know there really was an ark? Listen, this isn't God's first rodeo. They say there could have been up to 1 billion people on planet Earth at that time. And God looked down and saw the imaginations of their heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm done. Now, folks, why do we need to hear this today in church? Why do we need to hear this? To let you know that there is a God who spoke this world into existence by his word. There is a God who gave his word to Noah and a God who judged. His timetable is completely, perfectly intact. Where is the promise of his coming? They're questioning the very word of God. And God wants to stir us up by reminding us about his timetable. There's some other events mentioned in this passage. I'd love to go into all of them, but we can't for sake of time. We have the day of the Lord, verse 10. We have in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a what? Come on now. You excited about heaven? The new heavens, the new earth? That's another event on God's timetables. We have the return of Christ. We have all these events from creation to Noah to all these different events of end times. Look back. I just want to show these to you in chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. Once again, stirring us up about God's timetable. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to preserve them unto judgment. Hey, listen. You know there was a war before the world? We don't know when. I mean, they speculate when it happened. We just know when it happened, Pastor. I don't know. There's not a lot in Scripture about angels and the war. There's a little, right? There's a little, but we don't know a whole lot. Here's what I'm saying. God already had a war in heaven with the angels, folks. And he created this world out of nothing in 6 literal days. And he sent a judgment to this flood, killing 1 billion people. Don't you think for a second that God's timetable is not intact to what he's going to do. And as the people of God, going back to the word of God, we have to find comfort in knowing that God is still in charge. Now, I don't want to get off on this, and I'm a guest speaker, and I don't want to cause nothing, but I just want to make one comment. Do you know what I don't see in this timetable? Because he talks about the flood, creation, the angels in heaven. He actually talks about Sodom and Gomorrah in this passage as well, another big event where God judged. He talks about the new heaven, new earth, talks about the return of Christ, talks about the millennial, talks about all these things. You know what he doesn't mention? The 2024 election. Hey, listen, I'm as frustrated as you are. I'm a patriot just like you. But if that's all we got, you can have it. You can have it. I'm a patriot. I'm frustrated. I don't like it either. I'll vote because that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay. But I'm not relying upon that. Yesterday, King Charles was coronated. Anybody into that? Anybody out there in the world? It's probably not. My wife, thank you. Listen, Harry wasn't on the balcony. Man, I'm frustrated. I don't know what the deal is. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Hey, listen. They made a lot of pomp and circumstance about that king. Jesus wasn't born a prince like Prince Charles was born a prince. Jesus was born a king because he was already a king. The eternal Son, the living God, became sin, and he's the king. And there will one day be his coronation. Okay. Hey, listen, I'm just saying this. Hey, listen, you frustrated about life, you struggling with life, you serve a God and you know a God who has a timetable. Where is the promise of his coming? Oh, good night, trust me. One day, Jesus Christ himself will split that sky wide open and put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And you better be on the right side, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue shall swear. And the people of God gather together to be all about Jesus and to let everybody know that he's already the king and he's coming again. It's all about God's timetable. Number 2, God's heartbeat. Look in the scripture quickly, if you would. We're being stirred up by the word of God in God's timetable, but also God's heartbeat. God's heartbeat. Verse 9 says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Come on now, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I am come to seek and to save that which was You know God's agenda, God's heartbeat is still the same. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the Lord? Aren't you glad God convicted you of your sin, drew you to Christ? Aren't you glad that you are in Christ today? And when you pillow your head every night, you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell. You know on the fact of the Word of God, the record of God, that you have eternal life in Jesus. You know, I don't think about hell and people perishing as much as I should. You know what I'm saying? But we know it's true, preacher. I think it would be bad enough if people died for 500 years, maybe 1,000 years to perish. But preacher, it's forever. I shared in Sunday school about my grandpa. How many of you were in Sunday school? World War II vet, hard man, good man, but a hard man. And I gave him the gospel so many times. My grandma on my other side, 93-year-old Catholic lady, gave her the gospel. One of the last times I came home, preacher, I just prayed, oh God, give me one more chance, just one more chance. And the Lord just through his providence set it up for me to be with grandma alone in her apartment, took the word of God, and I gave her the gospel. Because I knew something. I knew that was God's heartbeat. He's not willing that any should perish. It's easy to gather in these four walls Christians. It's not as easy to go out there and tell your neighbors and your friends and your co-workers about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. He gave you the Holy Spirit, and that power is to be a witness for him. And we all, come on now. I mean, we're in church today. You're not supposed to lie when you're out there, but you're not supposed to lie in here for sure. Okay, listen. We all need be a little more conscious of souls. And you ought to be stirred up for your neighbor again. But let me just challenge you with one practical thing. Hey, listen, I have lost people. I've witnessed people. I witnessed a guy on an airplane in the airport coming here. We all should do more of it. Come on now. We all should be more faithful. Come on now. I'm going to start this whole sermon over. You better be with me. You got to get stirred up here, folks. You got to get that paint can going here, right? Listen, we all need to be more conscious of souls. We ought to be better, more consistent. But let me just challenge you with one thing. The Apostle Paul says, my desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Here's what Paul did. He kept praying. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody to be saved? And how many forget about it and life happens? Listen, can you just commit in church today to pray for your grandma again? Pray for your coworker again? And God will open up a door to give you an opportunity to be a witness. Maybe the Lord will do that for you even this week. But you get back after it. You get back after it. You get back after it because that's God's heartbeat. It may not be your heartbeat, but if you start praying for souls to be saved, it'll become your heartbeat. And you start naming names to the God of heaven and earth. Because maybe, just maybe, you're the only person taking that name to God to be saved. That's God's heartbeat. God's expectations for his people, I'll read a verse, we'll be done. Look at verse 14. So we're being stirred up towards the word of God. We're being stirred up because of God's timetable, because of his heartbeat. Verse 14, we're done. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, okay, that is, we're looking for all these things to happen, for God to fulfill his word, for the promise of Jesus, the return of Jesus. That's what we're looking for. Here's what he says. Since you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found, what? Found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Hey, Christian, wave up here. It's real simple. Are you at peace with God? I didn't say if you're perfect. I didn't say, do you have any sin struggles? I didn't even ask you if you had a bad week. But when you come to church, you can be right with God. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we what? Confess our sins. God doesn't want you to be perfect, but he wants you to be honest. You can be at peace with God today because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Okay, you can be at peace with God. The Bible says without spot. I mentioned Jimmy kind of introduced Tina and I together, of course, that wonderful day we got married. When's our anniversary again? Hold on. I got to look. Sometimes I jam my fingers so many times with basketball. You know, I don't think I can get it off today, but I think, oh, I got it. Here we go. So we got married on, what does it say? KW AW always. Everybody say, aw. Come on now. 6:18. Look at that, 05. She had this inscribed on this ring before we got married. So the day, you know, we had the wedding, I got it back. I had all this on there. She also installed a shocker system. So it shocks me 1 week before our anniversary, every single year. Isn't that amazing? Tina, of course, in her beautiful white dress, coming down, and just that wonderful picture and the memory of that, how special that was. You know, I didn't grow up a Christian, and God has brought me a wonderful, sweet wife. Thank you, Jimmy, again. And it was wonderful. Okay, so she had a white dress. Can I ask you a question? How many spots on that dress would have been okay that day? How many? Oh, come on, listen. Her shoes were fine, dress was fine. One little spot, no big deal. Yet some of us treat our Christian lives that way, don't we? You're like, well, I'm at church, but I yelled at my husband on the way to church. Some of you are like, did he tell you that in Sunday school? You watched that junk 3 days ago, but you're at church, and that's okay? Hey, listen, I can name every sin in the world. Here's what I'm saying. No spot. No spot. Just get it right. Just get it right. Now, isn't that what it says, preacher? Just get it right. You love God. He loves you. He knows your mess up. He knew you were going to mess up before he saved you. Did you know that? If you got something wrong, get it right. So be at peace with God, get it right, and be blameless. And the idea of being blameless is that nothing sticks. We need Christians who are Christians, who have good testimonies. Because all the, listen, all this stuff is going to happen. Creation happened, the flood happened, Sodom and Gomorrah happened, everything happened. Jesus Christ will come, will judge the nations. People are going to heaven, people are going to hell. It's all true, it's all going to happen. And what God wants from us is to be good testimonies, to be blameless so nothing sticks. I'm not as blameless as all the time as I need to be, but I sure want to be a good testimony for the Lord. I hope you do too, yeah? Because all these things. I hope you're stirred up today. I hope you're stirred up. Is God in charge, yes or no? Don't fret about this world. You keep doing and trusting one day Jesus will come. God's heartbeat is souls. Always has been, always will be. A church or a Christian that's all about that is all about the agenda of God. Is all about the agenda of God. And what God wants from us, since we look for these things, be at peace, be without spot, and be blameless. Pastor, would you come at this time? Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to turn everything right over to Pastor. Thank you for your wonderful attention today. I pray, even today, that you're stirred up for the Lord to live as a Christian should this week. Pastor.
Every head's bowed and every eye closed, please. Now, you prayed at the beginning of the service. Do you think God wants to do something? Do you think he wants to answer? We know he does. First question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you repented and realized that you need a Savior? The heart of God is he's not willing that you perish. He's not willing that you're in that judgment on the other side of the fence. And by the raising hand, you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure, but I need your prayer. I don't know if I'm saved or not. And would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? Is there one here this morning? Let me ask you another question. Yes, I see that. Put it down. And I will pray for you. Are there others? And Lord, I do pray that the Lord will continue to work in your life. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have the heartbeat of God? Do you have the peace of God? Peace with God is be it salvation, but the peace of God is your Christian life. Will you not please be honest with yourself and what you ask God to do today and respond to that? Our dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'll continue to